You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. It is the first mock draft of the season on today's show. We are doing a first round mock draft, predicting who we think are going to be the best fantasy basketball players for the 2021-22 season. Let's go!
Jordan, open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant, to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. It is possible.
Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang!
Curry for three.
Wow! Unbelievable. Making it rain in New York.
We the North are now we the champions.
Not the destination. It's the journey. Mamba out.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitchell Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA. And as always, I'm joined with my good friend, Callum Mack. How you doing, man?
Doing pretty well, Mitchie. Let's talk some fantasy. It's never too early, right?
Never, ever too early. Never too early. We're starting to get into the, the legit preseason now, getting all free agencies sort of pretty much wrapped up. Summer League finished today. We've had the draft, obviously, a few weeks ago. So it's go time. We're getting into the meat of it.
Let's do it. We've got a fun pod. I'm keen to pick some of my favorite players, which we will be doing.
Yes. We're picking the cream of the crop today, the top 12, the first round in standard fantasy drafts. This is where you're going to build your team from. This is going to be your foundational piece. And we're doing a two-man mock draft. So you're going to get a pick. What do we decide? I'm taking the first pick, then we're throwing over to you, and we're going to go backwards and forth, alternating picks until we get to pick 12. And we might throw out a few honorable mentions on who we're nearly there and what our strategy will be based on these first picks. So we're considering this to be a 9-category head-to-head league. This would be different, I believe, if it was a rotisserie league or if it was, 8-category or whatever the case may be. So those are the parameters. So your standard leagues for the most part. And I guess we'll get straight on into it. So we're up to the first pick. All right, so I've given myself the first pick here, and I think I'm going to be really safe with this one. It's pretty obvious. It's nothing fancy. I'm going to go with Nikola Jokic with the first pick here, and if I had pick one in the fantasy draft, I don't see a world where I'm not taking Nikola Jokic. Number one pick last year. Well, sorry, wasn't the first pick on the draft last year, but the first ranked player. He was on your side last year. I think you got him at pick 8. Is that right?
I think it was 8, yeah, that's right. I think on most draft boards, he was around the 7, 8, 9 mark.
Yeah, that's right. So just had an amazing season. Obviously, I think with the fact that Jamal Murray is going to miss most of the year, if not the entire season, it's pretty safe to say that his production will be the same, if not even better. Just a beast in terms of you've got your assists from a big man, which are amazing. The percentages are awesome. The scoring increased a fair bit last year and should stay high this year, especially without Murray there. Rebounds. Even gave you a bunch of steals last year. He lacks blocks as a big man, but whatever. You can punt that category. So just an excellent all-round player. Really easy to build around. And I think for the most part, he'll be the number one pick unquestioned this year. Do you have anything to disagree with that, or is it pretty standard for Jokic to be the number one pick?
I think it has to be Jokic. Pretty much in every format, he was number one. He puts up stats. He put up 26, 11, and 8. He gives you steals. His field goal is such a carry as well. I did have him on my team last season, and it was very enjoyable. I rarely lost field goal, and he was a big factor because it's big size, big sample size, and he hits a lot of them, 56% from the field. He fits every build. And not only to mention that, but he also played all 72 games last season. So he's kind of really just maintained being a good old reliable player, which always helps in terms of there's always the players that get injured, and Jokic now is the title of the durability.
Yeah, no, that is huge because last year injuries were just everywhere. Every player seemed to be injured at some point. You know, we had the COVID complications as well. Now, touch wood, we'll have a better season next year because there was that shortened break. COVID was, a bit more of a factor. Players have a chance to get vaccines now, a bit more under control. So fingers crossed that we'll have a little bit more availability. But the fact that he is so durable and hasn't had those injuries concerns just gives you that extra sort of green light. It's a nice safe pick. He was number one player. There's really, like you said, any format, rotisserie, head-to-head, 8-cat, 9-cat, whatever the case may be. I'd be taking Jokic number one. Without too much thinking, don't overcomplicate it. Just take him with a number one. Okay, let's move on to pick two. This is where I think more of the discussion will come into play. Who have you got here, Cal?
All right. I'm going to have to take Steph Curry. Let's go with Steph Curry. I think he's worth the second pick. I understand, his stats were a little bit inflated. Klay Thompson wasn't there. But Klay Thompson, all he does is spread the court. Klay Thompson's coming off a pretty bad injury. It's still Steph Curry's team. This team struggled when he was on the floor. Look, they got a couple more rookies. Are we still expecting Wiseman to make a big difference on offense? Definitely not. This is still Steph Curry's team. I think he's there for threes. He doesn't hurt you really in any category either, I guess, in blocks, but no point guard gives you any block value anyway. So 5.33 game, three-pointers a game is just like such a carry. And then his points as well. I can average 30 points a game pretty comfortably with him on your team.
Look, I like it. I think he's clearly a top four for me. I think there's a bit of a clump, like 2, 3, 4 for me. I think there's a few players that sort of stick out to that point. He's not who I had at second, but I can easily be swayed. I think we were talking before the podcast that I wasn't really confident with my pick two. I think you can go a number of different ways depending on how much you want to punt and things like that. But Steph Curry, the only thing that really I hesitate with is the fact that he's, how old is he now? 33, 32 years old. But you know, it's Steph Curry. He's one of the greatest of all time. So I guess that kind of makes me feel a little bit more confident. So
he's going to have a good year. I reckon put him on MVP watch. That's for sure.
Yep. No, I like it. There should be a better team, have a better record. You're not worried about Klay Thompson taking away some of his shots?
No, not at all. If only it just makes more space for him and he can just shoot at a better field goal. Because he shot 48% from the field. And with Klay, we know it's probably going to go back up into the 50 range like it had previously.
Yeah, I will remind everyone, like this was the first time we got to see a full season of Steph Curry without Kevin Durant. The year before, obviously, I think I remember he only played like 5 games before injuring his hand and getting shut down for the rest of the season. So this was what Steph Curry was doing before Kevin Durant got there. And obviously, Durant comes in, best player in the world. And he's going to take some usage away from Steph Curry. So with Durant gone, Steph Curry did exactly what he was doing before he was there. So I think that this is similar to what we can expect. Maybe he might go from 32 points per game down to like 29 or 30. But maybe you see that field goal percentage go from 48 to something closer to 49 or 50%. So with Klay taking a bit more of that gravity and taking the defenders with him as well. So I think it's a good shout and definitely someone who I would consider there if you're happy to maybe punt the blocks, go with that sort of free throw percentage, point guard, assist, threes kind of build. So can't fault it at all. Can't fault it at all. Was there anyone else who you were sort of considering at this point or was it pretty clear cut for you?
To be honest, I had Jokic, I think, was unanimous for number one, and me, I was pretty confident taking Steph at number two.
Okay, I like it. I like it. I can't see anything wrong with it. I think there's a few other players in there for me, and I'm going to take one of them right now. All right, pick three. I am going with Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think, now, obviously, if you look at per game rankings. You look at on an 8 category league, he's the 11th ranked player. But when you're grabbing Giannis, you're punting free throws. And as soon as you turn that free throw punt on, he becomes the number 2 player fairly comfortably behind Nikola Jokic. And I just think it's a really easy, straightforward punt build. It makes the rest of your draft super clear. There are so many players that when you pair with Giannis, it makes it just your team aligns really, really well. And I just like the ability to punt threes, punt free throw percentage, punt turnovers in most drafts, because you can get guys like your Ben Simmons, it boosts their values. You can get guys like your De'Aaron Foxes, it boosts their values. You can get your, probably not this
Zion
year,
Zion Williamson.
Yeah, Zion Williamson, if you can get him on the second round. You know, all those kind of players, their value just goes through the roof, and then you've got a really strong team in a certain few categories. I wouldn't draft him here on a rotisserie league. It's only head-to-head, but I just think that he's just so easy to build around, and that's why I would take him as high as 2 if you're comfortable with doing that punt build, because similar to Jokic, very durable, always reliable, played 33 minutes a game, don't see that coming down. Big points, big rebounds, big assists, steals, blocks, field goal percentage, all the good stuff. And I think he's just as safe as houses. So what are your thoughts on Giannis? Did you have him around this sort of area?
I did. I kind of had him around I didn't have him my 3, but I like, yeah. He can go 3, 4, 5 pretty easily. You can juggle a few people around, but I locked him into my 3 slot here. So I'm pretty happy with how the draft is going. This is going just as forecasted.
Yeah, I think this is pretty standard. And like I said, I can see there's probably a clear top 4 for me. Then there's like a little bracket of 3 players after that. And then it sort of gets a bit dicey after that. But I'm pretty confident with these 3 players we've named. And I'm hoping that you're going to do me a favor and draft the guy that I'm thinking that should be in the top 4. Let's go over to pick 4 now. All right, who have you got for us, Cal?
I'm going to go with James Harden at the 4th pick. I think it's a safe pick. He performs every year. It doesn't matter if he's playing with Kyrie and Kevin Durant, because I guess one of them could be injured a lot of the time, firstly. And secondly, the man's going to put up 10 assists a game. Yeah. I think that was all pretty clear last season that he pretty much is the point guard, and he can get over 10 assists very easily while putting up about 25 points a game. He can give you some reasonable steals. He doesn't really hurt you too much except for turnovers. And turnovers is probably a good thing to punt anyway. And like on the team that he's on, he's just a good all-rounder, really. He's a great starting point. You can go many ways on the punt after this.
Yeah, no, this was the guy I was talking about. Like, and I think this is where there's that clear top 4. You've got Jokic, Steph, James Harden, and then Giannis. I think every single draft, those should be the first 4 off the board, because I do believe that there's a bit of a drop-off at this point in terms of my confidence levels. But yeah, you've got your assists, like you said. He's probably going to lead the league in assists, but let's shout out his 8 rebounds a game. Nearly gets a block a game. We can't always forget the free throw percentage, although apparently the rules are going to be changing this year, Cal, and they're not going to be calling these shit James Harden fouls. Are you worried about his foul rate dipping, or do you think that James Harden's just going to keep doing James Harden, tricking the refs and getting to the free throw line anyway?
I think he's a master at it. Look, it might drop a little bit, but I think at this point he's really gotten a big value now with the I think it's the assists, and that's why you should just be locked into this category, because there's not many people that can give you that, you know, 10 assists a game, and I guarantee his free throw percentage and attempts made will still be very beneficial to your team.
Yeah, they'll still be a huge benefit. He's still probably going to want to be one of, if not the leader in that category in terms of benefit to your team. So huge free throw percentage, which is hard to get later in the draft. And when you're starting a draft, you want points. If you want to be competitive in assists, you've got to get it within the first 2 or 3 rounds minimum, because they dry up really quickly. And then obviously you've got big threes, rebounds for the guard position. So James Harden, again, 30, a bit younger than Steph, but still, you know, 32 years old, had the hamstring issues towards the end of last year. Any concern for you in terms of injury or durability on this team, that even if he gets like a little niggle, might sit down for a little bit?
I'm still pretty confident, because I guess previously in the past seasons, he's always been that really durability king. And a hamstring, it should be fine. It should be good to go by this next season. He's never had anything really serious. So I'm not very concerned there.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like the hamstrings, if managed properly, which, you know, I've said that the NBA needs to sort out their ability to manage hamstrings a bit better in the past, but it shouldn't linger over into the other season. It's soft tissue injury. Hopefully with a longer off season, he should be able to sort of get that under wraps, get himself properly in shape. You know, we had those chubby James Harden photos at the start of last season when he was on the Rockets. So hopefully he's had a better off season under his belt. He's motivated. He's ready for a championship. So I'm very comfortable drafting James Harden inside the top four. All right, now let's go over to pick five. Now, pick five here, I think you can go a number of different ways. I'm going to be selecting at pick five at this stage. I reserve my right to change my mind, but at this stage, I'm going to be selecting Karl Anthony Towns at pick five. There's a few other players that I considered, but Karl Anthony Towns, we know he's a beast fantasy player. We know that he is a big rebounder, scores a lot of points, hits a lot of threes for a big man, gets good assists for the big man as well. One thing that sort of lets him down from a big man stat point of view is his field goal percentage, shooting under 49%, which hopefully is something that can increase with players like Anthony Edwards taking a bit of the scoring slack, D'Angelo Russell spacing the floor. But he is the center point of their team. He's going to be getting big minutes. You know, prior to the last couple of seasons, he was someone we would consider an Iron Man, like played 82 games for the first three seasons, and he's had a couple of injury play seasons the last 2 years. But I don't think it's anything to be overly concerned about. I think he's been unlucky. He's had a few personal issues with COVID and that are well documented. So I think with all that in the past, I'm projecting a good year for Karl Anthony Towns and someone who I feel is fairly safe to draft at this point. What are your thoughts on that pick there, Cal?
I'm all bored. I think it's a great idea. I think he's actually due for a big season. He obviously didn't get much under his tires last season, but that was an injury. I think it was a hand injury. So it's not like anything that should linger. I think he'll come back. He'll bounce back, have a really good season. I'm actually kind of intrigued to see what these Timberwolves do the full capacity roster. Maybe they'll push for an eighth seed. We'll see. But I think he's going to obviously be the leader. He's got the field goal. He's a good guy in terms of you can... Once again, in terms of punt strategy, you can go many ways when you have Anthony Towns. He doesn't really hurt you at all, and he's just so beneficial in a lot of areas.
His worst category is steals, aside from turnovers, but all these guys, their worst category is turnovers. So his probably biggest downfall is steals, but you know, if you pair him with someone who gets good steals, say, I don't know, a Jimmy Butler or something like that on the second round, then you can easily recover from that. So like you said, very versatile, doesn't limit you to one thing, which in some ways I don't love because it sort of leaves it a bit more open-ended. Like a player like Giannis, you know what you got, you know what you're looking for. Karl Anthony Towns leaves maybe some more room for error, but it also, if you know what you're doing, you can sort of make any sort of value work. If there's a guy that slips down the board in the second or third round, you can sort of pivot and shift your strategies and that can always be very, very valuable. So, I think, like I said before, there's a group of about three players here that I'm considering. A couple other guards that I consider at this point. But I think also having those big guys, you know, the center position in terms of positional depth is probably the shallowest in the league. There's not many other centers in the league that put up 25 points a night. So to lock that away, then I can get my guards in my second and third rounds, I think is probably really valuable. So probably nudges him in front of those other guys a little bit for me. All right, let's move on to pick number six. Over to you, Cal.
Ooh, it's a tough pick.
Here we go.
Tough pick. I would definitely consider a few people at this pick. My opinion may change closer to the draft, but at this point, I'm feeling okay taking Kevin Durant.
Yeah, okay.
I think we take Kevin Durant at this point because he's obviously proven that his Achilles is not going to be an issue with him at all. He should be able to play minutes. He should be resting many games, which was a concern going into last season. That's why he got pushed back to a second-round pick. He looks great. Let's be honest. He looks like the best player in the world. He can put up, you know, your 27, 28 points a game, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, And he can give you the defensive stats too. They are like one block, one steal. He gets up to about 1.5 blocks as well, which in fantasy is hugely valuable. So he's, once again, a great first-round pick. You can't really go wrong with him because you can take so many strategies afterwards. And he's probably going to be in the title team. So let's go team Kevin Durant.
The title team? Did you slip the one in there? That was a little sneaky one there, Kel. Do you want to put something to that?
Look, I'm pretty confident that Kevin Durant will. Are we talking like NBA championship or fantasy?
Oh, NBA championship.
I mean, I'm very confident that the Nets will win. Their team is very good.
Do you want to throw one of these on it?
Yeah,
let's do it. Let's go. I'm not scared.
Health permitting, I would say. I think if they are healthy, they're going to be really, really hard to beat. Obviously, I think the only reason that they didn't win last year was obviously he didn't have much help from his teammates. But coming back to fantasy, look. He's someone I'm not sure about. Hey, it's obviously last year he was the fourth ranked player on a per game basis, only played the 35 games. You know, there was a few little niggles here and there, a couple of restings, and there might have even been some COVID things I can't quite remember from this team. But so, you know, nearly just half the season for Kevin Durant. So even though the you would expect the Achilles to be behind him, he obviously looks like a beast in the playoffs, played heavy minutes. So that gives you confidence moving forward into this season. I just don't know. I don't know if there's still a little bit of risk there. He is, again, older, but probably, you know, same age as Steph and James Harden, all those sort of guys. But I am confident that he is, you know, obviously I still think that he's the best player in the world, so he'll be fine from that respect. I don't know. I think I would have him a little bit later in terms of my risk tolerance for this point.
Well, which is fair. And that's why he slid last season. Last season, he was a second round pick for that reason. Yeah. But I just feel like, look, he's proved himself now. He looks amazing. And there's no real reason for him to rest these games anymore. Yeah. So
I definitely think he's a first round pick. I 100% think he's a first round pick. For me, he's probably more pick 9. That's where I'm starting to consider him because I feel a bit safer with a few of these other guys ahead. And I don't think there's too much of a gap between him and these other two players that I've got in this sort of like tier at the moment. Although I do love me some Kevin Durant. And like a few of the other guys we mentioned, he's an all-rounder. He's a positive contributor into every single stat except for steals. So his steals at 0.7, which has been higher historically in his career, so that could even come back up this season. Usually he's a positive contributor in every single stat. So you've got options when it comes back to the second round. Like we said with Carl Anthony Towns, you can pick your poison. If someone slips, you can then pivot your strategy and punt based on that. So, but he probably rises a little bit higher in terms of rotisserie for me for that reason as well. So if you're in a roto league, yeah, I think this is a good spot to take Kevin Durant. All right, let's go on to, where are we up to? Pick number 7. All right, at pick 7, again, this is one of those guards that I mentioned before, and it is Damian Lillard. I am taking that pick 7. Good old Dame Lillard, Dame Dollar. He's a bit forgotten sometimes, I think, in fantasy circles, but he gets it done every year, puts up huge scoring, huge threes, good assists. The rebounds are okay for a guard. The free throw percentage is massive, 92% on 7.2 attempts. He was the 7th ranked player last year in 8 category leagues. Just the best point guard after Steph Curry in fantasy basketball. You could, you know, mention Kyrie Irving there, but obviously you've got the injury concerns. But you know, someone played 67 games last year, durable. I just think that it's a nice first round pick with little risk and just very, very high upside.
Yeah, that's right. He's elite in scoring and 3-pointers. So I feel like at that point, and then even assists are pretty good. He got up to 7.5 assists last season, which is probably a season high for him. That's really good value. His 3-throw percentage. He got shot about 93% from a 3-throw, which
massive.
Is pretty damn good when you're taking 7.2 a game. So
his best category was actually the free throw percentage. He was the highest contributor in terms of categories out of every player that last year. So the biggest boost in free throw percentage was Damian Lillard.
So pretty much when you get him, obviously you're locked into your 3-throw, 3-pointers, and I guess points and assists.
Yeah.
So there's about 4 different categories you can punt there. So you're can punting, punt steals, you're blocks.
Probably, you're probably going to be punting rebounds. Blocks. You're probably going to be punting rebounds.
You got options.
Maybe steals. But yeah, you can choose to maybe save one or two of those categories. But one of those three, you're probably looking at punting, depending on who comes back to you.
Exactly. So look, I think it's a good pick. Once again, he's safe every year. You can never go wrong with Dame Lillard. He's always healthy. He plays a lot of minutes. Reliable. I've had him on a championship team before. So it's possible.
100%. 100% is possible. Did you have him around this sort of area? Were you thinking this is sort of the right spot for him?
When I got him, it was actually, this is actually a few years ago. And this is when I picked him up on like the 12th pick. I got him in the turnaround. I got him and Paul George.
Oh, I remember.
The turnaround. I went for a soft field goal punt. And that won me the league that year.
I do remember that. That was a good turn, good pick on the turn there for you that year. what about this year? Do you think like pick 7, pick 6? Do you think that's sort of the right area for him? Maybe pick 8 in some leagues.
Yeah, I'd say 6 to 8. He shouldn't be going after 8.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think if he's going after 8, you're getting an absolute steal at that pick because he's pretty much guaranteed for a top 10 production, and the downside is very minimal. All right, let's move on to, where are we up to? Pick number 8. Over to you, Callum.
All right. Once again, a lot of players here to consider. I could take a gamble here. I guess both my picks right now are a little bit of a gamble. So it just depends on who I want. I'm just going to go with Joel Embiid.
Okay.
I'm going to go Joel Embiid. I'm assuming that this whole half-torn meniscus is totally fine. I looked it up. I couldn't see any news. So I assume he's there. He was definitely the runaway MVP of the league until he went down and Jokic stole it from him. And his stats are really, really good. On a per-game basis, Joel Embiid is incredibly good.
Massive. 5th overall last year.
And like, look, he carries in points, 28 points, 10 rebounds. For a big man, he gives you reasonable assists at about 3 a game, 1 steal, 1.4 blocks. He's a killer. Really good on the free throw percentage as well because he takes so many.
Huge.
And he shot 86% last season. So once again, great foundation piece. There is a bit of an injury concern. Let's face it. He's got that reputation. But that being said, if he's healthy during playoff time, you've got one of the best per game monsters fantasy wise.
Yeah, again, look, I like that you're being bold here. I like you're being bold in our first round mock draft. No consequences with the mock draft, so you can afford to throw these darts out there. Personally, again, I think it's a bit before I'm comfortable drafting him. I guess maybe I'm just really cautious in my first round because the saying I like to live by is you can't win your draft on the first pick, but you can definitely lose it. And I think that applies with some of these guys like Embiid who undeniably has an injury risk. We know that he's an excellent fantasy player. We know that, obviously. Look, there's even some upside built in when, if or when Ben Simmons gets traded. Maybe his rebounds go up, his assists go up as a result. Ben Simmons was getting a lot of those every game. So, look, I like the pick. I think it's obviously around that point that you start considering him. There is one player still left on the board that I definitely would take over him. I think you know who I'm talking about. but yeah, I think it's probably around the spot that I would be considering him. I guess it just depends on your tolerance and risk adverseness, if that's a word.
Well, I'm interested to see who you're going to take next.
All right, let's go on to it. Let's not delay. Keep everyone in suspense. All right, with the 9th pick, I'm going to be taking Luka Doncic. He is someone who I can definitely see people actually taking higher than this. I think some people might out there be thinking, what the hell have you done with Luka? Why is he going to 9? And then they might have him inside their top 3 or 4. Look, the deficiencies are there. Last year, he was the 18th ranked player in an 8-category league. Obviously, percentages, lack of defensive stats are a concern. But the man's putting up 28, 8, and 8 with 3 threes. He gets a steal. If that free throw percentage comes good, he's averaging 30 points a game, and he's shooting over 7 attempts a game. And I've got to assume at some point, one of these seasons, he's going to average 80% from the line. And he'll going to stick there because he's a good shooter. It's really weird that he's shooting so poorly from the line and he gets there so often. However, I don't think you can bake on that. I think if you're drafting Luka, you're a punt free throw percentage team because it is a big negative when you're shooting that many attempts. It's by far his worst category outside of his turnovers. I'm someone who automatically punts turnovers, so I don't really care about that anyway. But I think with Luka, you're looking at punting free throw percentage, and potentially maybe punting steals as well if you're getting him, and maybe a solid big man in the second round. But durable, he's going to have the ball in his hands. They're going to be fighting for to get into the playoffs. So I think he's a fairly safe pick to repeat those numbers from last year.
Yeah, look, I made a rule. I'm not taking Luka inside of the top 10. Maybe my 10th pick, but not a single digit. I just decided he's hard to build around, man. He's really hard. There's other people like Joel Embiid who on a per game basis, you know what you're getting every night.
Yeah.
And I guess you do with Luka, but it's just the three throws really do hurt. The turnovers hurt. The steals and blocks obviously don't help. There's a lot of things there that are really just insufficient. I mean, yeah, look, the points, rebounds, and assists are great. But outside of those, because even his field goal isn't that good either.
Yeah.
Like, he's a really kind of hard guy to build around and win. And I think because he puts up those big three stats, a lot of people are kind of reaching for him. Like, he was ranked 37 last season, and that's him putting up amazing stats like he always is. And the one thing is, yeah, look, it's the free throws. I'm kind of convinced this is who he is. Rookie season, he shot 71%.
It's his fourth year, though. He's coming into his fourth year, you know, like...
Year 72%, second year 76%, last season 73%. There's no improvement there. It's consistency.
I'm not saying you expect an improvement in free throw percentage, but it could come and be a massive bonus. And in a punt free throw percentage build, well, if you're punting free throw percentage and turnovers, which I think you have to with Luka, he's the sixth best player in the league. And I understand, yeah, you probably are right that he is harder to build around than someone like a Giannis, where you just go bang. Free throws, threes, done. That's what I'm looking at. Because Luka gives you that three value, you're now sort of a bit like, oh, okay, what kind of players work well with Luka? But I just think that he's too good of a talent, and the fact that he played 66 games last year with all those other guys in terms of question marks around their health and consistency, I'd just rather would take Luka. He's a young player. He's probably going to push through a few of those niggles more. They need him if they're going to be competitive in the Western Conference. So that's why, yeah, I just feel more comfortable with him than someone like an Embiid or probably on a lesser scale, Kevin Durant. But yeah, definitely more comfortable with him than Embiid.
Yeah, I guess on a night-to-night basis, you are getting reliability because he's number one guy. He hasn't shown that he gets injured much either. So that's a big positive.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing for me. I think what we've learned from this is I'm a bit more risk adverse than you in the first round here, Kel.
Well, I mean, I took Embiid. I think it's always, it depends. It depends. Yeah, like every season, everyone's got different opinions, which is fine.
Yeah. No, I like it. I like it. I think all these guys are going there and abouts where they should go. All right, let's go on to the next pick. Pick, what are we up to? Pick number...
Is this 10?
Yeah, I think so. We're up to... Let me just make sure I've got this correct. Pick number 9, I think. Oh, no. Pick number 10.
No, it's got to be 10. I'm evens. 10. I'm evens your odds. Let's go.
Here we go. Pick 10.
All right. I feel like... I think this is a good pick. I would have taken this guy above Luka. I'm going to put that on the record.
Okay.
I've got a steal here.
All right.
An absolute steal.
Value.
I've got Anthony Davis. I'm going to go with Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Okay, I was wondering when he was going to show up in our draft.
And the fact he's fallen to the 10, I think it's a huge steal. This man has been like top 5 value for many years. He had an off-season last season, yes, but people need to realize that it was in a smaller sample size. It was only 36 games,
yep.
And he didn't play well, and he was unhealthy for a lot of those 36 games, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He
is someone that sometimes struggles to stay healthy. Nothing major, but always seems to have like a rolled ankle here or a contusion on his hand there. You know, just these weird injuries. Like, he always seems to have something. So I do think at some point we've just got to factor that in a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I feel like for an 82-game season, you're only going to get him for... let's say high 60s. Like, he's probably going to miss a good 15 games.
That's probably fair.
I think, once again, I think last season was an anomaly, though, and that is why he's falling. And I think he is still definitely a top 10 pick, and he shouldn't be falling after the 10. He's so good at blocks. But last season, he only put up 1.6 blocks a game, but previously it was over 2 blocks a game for so often. It was 2.6, 2.4,
yeah, that was 2.3. The first season in his entire career that he's been under 2 blocks a game, including his rookie season.
Exactly. So it's pretty harsh. And then, look, I understand Russell Westbrook's there. Maybe it's going to steal some rebounds, steal some points. I mean, yes, I can still understand that argument, but I still believe that with the blocks that he's putting up, he also took a diminishing value because of his free throw percentage, which once again I think was anomaly.
Really random. He's been free throws. Yeah, he's been over 80% most years of his career. Even the ones that he's dipped below 80%, there was 1 year in 18-19 where he was 79.5%. I think his earlier season in 15-16, he was 76%. So, yeah, good free throw percentage shooter. So that I think that, again, a bit of an anomaly.
Exactly. And I just think his field goal got with Westbrook. Westbrook's really, he's actually one of the best guys to do like assists inside the paint. And he's going to be doing that with Anthony Davis. So if anything, his field goal would definitely go up. He doesn't hurt you really anywhere, usually, except for assists, I guess you could argue. But threes, even then, for a big man, he's putting up about three, which isn't even that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I think threes and assists, if you punt those categories, you're looking at a pretty strong punt build. And they're two things that you can punt pretty easily together. You know, you get a few big guys, you get a few guards that fit that sort of mold, prioritize them up your board. Yeah, I think this is exactly where I would want him to go. I think this is where he should go. You've got to factor in the fact that he did have an off season, and maybe, you know, the addition of Westbrook is a negative. The fact that he still only scored 22 points a game, which is his lowest in the last six seasons. So there are red flags, but I do tend to agree with you that he's going to bounce back. So that's why, you know, ranked 29th last year, we're still taking him inside the top 10. I think that's fair enough. It just means that he's not the top five or four pick that which he was prior to this season. So no arguments from me there. Let's move on to the 11th pick, my last pick of the first round mock draft. All right, I am going to select someone who was not a first rounder last year, who has moved up into the first round this year, and it is Bradley Beal of the Washington Wizards. I think, look, Westbrook's gone. He's onto the Lakers now. He's off the Wizards. Yes, they've got a few other pieces, but this is Bradley Beal's team. Second in the league in scoring last year. I think those assists are going to come back to over six a game where they were in his year beforehand, before Westbrook got there. Just looking up where he finished the year, he was 12th ranked in the league last year without Westbrook, so I just see that as his floor. He's durable. He's the only player on this team that can really get his own shot outside of Spencer Dinwiddie. Plays big minutes. They're going to need him if they want to get into the playoffs, and they'll be fighting to get into those playoffs or the play-in game. So I'm confident in his availability in the fantasy playoffs. So I think that he is 100% a first-round pick this year in Bradley Beal. What are your thoughts on Bradley coming into this season?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think he'll mirror somewhat of what he did before Westbrook was around. And when he did that, he put up 30 points a game. He obviously did that last season again. But the assist is obviously going to take a jump.
Yep.
And you could say the field goal is going to take a bit of a dip. But with the value you're getting for him, I think it's really good. You can go a few angles to him as well. You could punt field goal. You could punt steals, blocks, like Kemba, other guards, rebounds. Yep. But the one big factor for him is definitely the points and I guess the threes, and then you get pretty good assists. So he's a great pick. I like Bradley Beal. He's definitely a first rounder in my eyes this season.
Yeah, I just think like getting 30 points a game is just so valuable at this point of the draft. Like, you need your points early. I can't stress that enough. If you don't get points early in the draft, don't bother, because you're not going to be able to find them late. There's only a handful of players that can get you those big points, 25 plus points a game. You know, off the top of my head, you've got Colin Sexton or players like that. But outside of that, you just can't find it. So to get the second highest point scorer in the league, might even be the top scorer in the league with Clay coming back to Golden State and Westbrook gone from this team, I can see him leading the league in scoring. Extra two assists per night. Yeah, sure, the field goal percentage might come down. But I think with Beal, like you said, I think he's a punt field goal percentage guy. And in the second round, in a couple of picks, if I'm getting him at 11, there's a lot of guys that I can get at this point that would be really, really nice to pair with him in a punt field goal percentage build. All right, let's move on to the last pick in the first round, pick number 12. Over to you, Cal.
I'm going to have to go with Paul George Let's go with Paul George. I think he's a first rounder this season. He's the 12th pick, but Paul George will be a first rounder. There's no Kawhi. He's gone. So this is very much Paul George's team. And I guess importantly, I don't believe there's any, you could fact check me on this, but there's definitely no draft picks anytime soon for the Clippers. So that it's not really in their interest.
No, they're not. Yeah, they're not tanking. I think.
No, they're put Paul George out there. He's going to put up stats. We've seen what he can do. He usually can put up this kind of value, like the 10 value in terms of he'll put up good points. It'll be over 25 points a game. I guarantee it. On a reasonable kind of efficiency from field goal.
Take that for that.
Free throw percentage has always been really good. He put up 5 assists a game last season, which is pretty damn good. I don't really expect that from him. Usually that's probably a season high. Like, it's pretty good, but on the team that he's on, I think that's maintainable, right? Six rebounds. Steals have always been pretty good. Bit of a drop-off last season, but maybe that's going to come back up. I like Paul George in the first round.
Yeah, it is interesting that the steals were down at 1.1 a game. He's usually one of the best in the league in terms of steals. I'm not sure why that was the case, but I would make a bet to see that that's coming back up. I did just sneakily hear you say that 25 points per game guaranteed, so let me just hit this one here.
Guaranteed!
Okay.
It's guaranteed. Lock it in.
Yeah, just so we can have that on the record. 25 points a game. I think you can get pretty close to that, if not more. I just think the outside of Paul George, you've got All-Star Reggie Jackson, and then who else wants to score on this team? Really, it's not a lot of scorers. It's a lot of, like we
Luke
said,
Kennard.
Luke Kennard. Yeah, sure. Marcus Morris likes to throw up a shot here and there, but it's Paul George's team this year, and he's going to be putting it up. I think you've got to punt field goal percentage because I think that will drop without Kawhi there. And even with Kawhi there, he was only putting up 46%. So I think that's going to drop more towards that 43%, which is going to be a big negative in terms of the amount of attempts that he's going to take, which should see it come up over 20 attempts per game. But like I said, there's lots of options at this point of the draft. A lot of good fantasy guys that you can get there. That's a punt field goal percentage build. So, this is exactly... I actually had him ranked number 12 on the money in my rankings here, so perfectly fine with him going around this spot here. All right, so that's our first round mock draft. I just want to take a little bit of time at the end here just to discuss any players that were maybe in your top 12 or players that are really close that you considered with those last couple of picks. Is anyone that you think that I might have missed out on or sort of overlooked?
Look, there's definitely one guy that comes to mind.
Yeah.
And I felt bad not getting a number 12 because it's my guy, Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler killed it. And look, Kyle Lowry could hurt his value a bit. But that being said, he was 6th overall in terms of value per game last season on about 21 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. Pretty huge. Two steals. Always so reliable in steals, that man.
Yeah, no, I don't mind that. And obviously, he's a very obvious punt 3 build. It's sort of like his only weakness, really, and maybe the blocks as well. So, which is a weird combination. But one thing for me, for Jimmy, he's getting old. I don't know. I just feel like last year, before this year, he was never really that high. So, I don't know. I'm a bit... He's definitely a second rounder for me, early second round, but... Before then, when he was ranked 5th, he was 12th, 15th, 10th, 11th, 15th. So
yeah, he's always around that area.
Yeah.
And I mean, the other thing as well, I think the big boost for him was the assist, and that's why he jumped up last season.
Yeah.
And yes, Kyle Lowry's obviously going there, but Kyle Lowry works a lot off ball still, and they don't really have any real backup guys. I guess they have Kendrick Nunn. That'd be interesting to see, but I still think Jimmy Butler's going to have a lot of the ball.
Nunn's on the Warriors now, but I think their backup point guard will be Tyler Hero mostly. Which is not a big assist guy. So I think he averaged 7 assists. I think that probably drops down to like 6, which is not a massive loss, but just something that you probably do need to factor in. It probably is enough to drop him into, you know, from that 5th, 6th spot down to like pick 12, but it's nothing major. And if it's someone that you like, you want to build a punt 3s team, then I reckon that's fine. I do want to give a shout out to my boy. It's funny that this has happened this way, to my boy Jason Tatum, who is, I think, someone who I had ranked inside my top 12. I actually had him ranked above Paul George, one spot above Paul George at pick 11. I just think that if we look at his stats over the final sort of month or I've got a couple of stats here, but the final couple of months of the season, he was definitely inside the top 10. The Celtics had a really, really weird year last year. A lot of COVID things, players in and out of lineups. The team obviously didn't do as well. They've lost Kemba. This is obviously Tatum's and Brown's team. He's still young, still improving. I think the assists are going to improve this year. Again, he might get over 5 assists a game. I think he's going to score 27-plus points. I think the steals come back up. They dropped off last year. So I can comfortably see him being a thereabouts of a top 12 player. And I think the downside is fairly low. Played 64 games last year, even with a few COVID issues in there. So he is quite durable. So just a shout out to my boy.
You're not worried about Schroeder stealing all the shots?
Not worried about no Schroeder. What are you talking about? This is JT's team.
Take that.
I mean, look, I think they're a little bit inflated because Jaylen Brown did have a bit of time. He sat out. And to some degree, Jaylen Brown's stats are also inflated because I think when Jason Tatum was out, I think it was COVID protocols, and Jaylen Brown's stats were looking really good. So,
yeah, I mean, there was only 8 games in there with Jason Tatum missing time, so it wasn't a huge chunk. I think him being inflated is more to do with the fact that Kemba wasn't there at the start of the season. He was going crazy, but obviously Kemba won't be at all there this year. So I do like the improvement slightly in a couple of those guys. And I just think Tatum, like we've mentioned with a few of these guys, very easy to build around. He's actually a positive in every single category except field goal percentage. So again, someone you can, if you got a Jason Tatum, Paul George pairing on the turn, I think you're doing really, really well there. And also want to shout out again, another real quick one. We won't go into too much detail. Fred VanVleet. We talked about some field goal percentage punters. If you can get a Fred VanVleet and Paul George, or a Fred VanVleet and someone like Bradley Beal together, I think you've got an excellent punt field goal percentage team to start off with, because you're getting lots of steals, lots of assists, lots of points, lots of threes, all those good stuff which those teams need. So I think with Kyle Lowry gone, his assists are going to be very high this year. So shout out to Fred.
Yep, agreed. Watch out for those assists for Fred. They're going to jump up.
Yeah, he was a top 10 player last year in a punt field goal percentage, even with Kyle Lowry there. So there's a little tidbit for you guys. All right, well, we might call it there, guys. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you're listening along on Spotify, please give us a 5-star review and check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. If you're listening along on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. We're going to put out lots of fantasy videos this season, and we will catch you guys next time. Laters.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.